Radio.
Sky Sports Radio combined with Harness Racing New South Wales brings you On The Pace for your daily dose of news and tips.
Yes, welcome into On The Pace on this Wednesday morning here on Sky Sports Radio. Wonderful to have you joining us. We're still really catching our breath off the back of what was a really busy Easter weekend in harness racing. We had the Renshaw Cup, the Bathurst Gold Crown Carnival wrapped up, and the Riverina Championships also took place at Wagga on Sunday afternoon. We'll touch on that in a little bit more depth very shortly, but we don't have too much time to stop and ponder because there are significant races right on our doorstep next Friday night at Cambridge Raceway in New Zealand. The race by Grins and the Tab Trot will take place. They're both very, very deep and solid races. That trot race in particular is shaping to be something extremely special. And yeah, when it comes to the race by Grins, it's very, very even. Many of the horses we saw throughout the Carnival of Miracles are heading in that direction before New South Wales will also play a strong hand in the Nullarbor to be taken place the week after at Gloucester Park, where Spirit of St. Louis and Hot and Treacherous are heading in that direction. And Hot and Treacherous goes around on Saturday night to tick off his campaign. He's a $1.70 favourite with Tab in that free-for-all event. We had racing yesterday at Menangle. The Randos had a double in the trot races early on, Father Patrick siring both of them. So they were on the board nice and early with two, Will Rickson driving one of them, and he was also able to grab another win later on in the card. And then we raced at Young last night where Matt Rue also had a driving double. There's a trialling session underway as we speak at Menangle. The fast class trial has been staged where Last Tango in Heaven was successful, 152-1 home in 26-7. Lineup was second. Mahomes now with Luke McCarthy back in third. A Kiwi by the name of Simply Sam, who comes across with a pretty good record. He was there as well as Pars Guarantee, who we saw win the Cowra Cup before running third in the Young Cherry City Cup. He was back in action as well. And a few mares from the Jack Trainer stable, including Artie's Express, a new addition. She makes her way across from New Zealand with an exceptional record. 19 starts, 13 wins, 2 minors. She was a feature race winner 2 starts ago. She is no doubt headed towards the Queen Elizabeth II mile, which is rapidly approaching. That ladies' night to be staged on May 4th is 4 weeks away from this Saturday. So that is all going to come together very quickly. Alongside that, there is a trotting mares race, the New South Wales Oaks, several other key features. So that is certainly a night to circle in your calendar. And if you want to head long to Menangle, there'll be a pacing for Pink Function and lots of other bits and pieces happening on track. So contact the club to secure your place. We're off to Bathurst this evening with 7 races. The first getting underway there at 6:14. So a quieter night by Bathurst standards. But I'm sure everybody's looking to take a little break off the back of what was a very busy prior 10 days. I mentioned off the top of the show that it was a great weekend in harness racing, and it wrapped up on Sunday afternoon at Wagga with the running of the Riverina Championships finals for the 4-year-old and 5-year-old Antis and Geldings and mares. And Jackie Gibson was able to prove successful in the mares division with her mare Not To Be Denied. And to make it even more special, she quinellaed it with I Keep Smiling. I thought it was a good opportunity to catch up with Jackie to discuss that and plenty more. And she's been kind enough to join us for On The Pace this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Jackie, and congratulations.
Thank you, Britt. Good morning to you. Lovely to catch up.
What an afternoon. Hey, that's one way to celebrate Easter Sunday.
It was just crazy, and the celebrations are still continuing. We're living on the high. It was wonderful.
I was watching from home on Sunday and I saw someone bouncing around right on the winning post. That didn't happen to be you, was it?
Yes, there was Jocko was down there, and I get quite nervous when the races are on, so I was watching it on the screen. And then I came out of the screen and I was underneath the awning, and then next minute I'd sprinted across the lawn. And, yeah, it was really exciting.
Well, it must have been an exciting home straight because you were probably aware pretty soon on straightening that one of your mares were going to get the job done, and there was only a short half head separating them. But all honours with not to be denied this 5-year-old mare by Always Be Mickey. Tell us her story, because for her age, she's lightly raced. She's been very well looked after, but she's always had a great record, and I think she really deserved that win on Sunday afternoon. She's been in many of the big dances, but she just seems to be getting better all the time.
She does. She's maturing beautifully. I purchased her as a yearling. She actually came through our prep for Rob and Julie Van Dyke, one of the last yearlings that they had offered. And I just really liked her and was able to purchase her. And she went off to Mark Hewitt over at Grenfell, who does all of our early work with our youngsters. And he said, "Oh, I think we might have something here." And she went through, and we spelled her, and I was lucky enough to get an embryo out of her, and then we put her back into work. And she just didn't really sort of come back the way that we thought that she would have. So then I put her back into the broodmare van. I actually retired her, and I couldn't get her in foal. And then I thought, right, in December you can go back to work. So that's what's happened with her.
Oh, it's some sort of story. So she has a foal on the ground through that embryo?
Yes, she does, Brittany. She's got a lovely Captain Crunch colt. He's a weanling now.
Well, some story. And it's not completely rare, but it's something that doesn't happen a lot. There was actually a mare that won the Go Girlfriend final at Menangle the other week that had physically had a foal. So it's certainly capable of occurring. But she is a 5-year-old, so you decided to bring her back into work, and she joined the McCarthy stable. And she seems a mare as much as her two runs back this time have been at Wagga for this series that would just love Menangle racing.
She does. She's a very big mare, Brit, and she's just really, you know, thriving on Luke's training at the Water Walker and so on. And, yeah, the big track just really seems to be her style.
For her to come back with the best part of 12 months off the scene, retired and returning, what was Luke's assessment of her chances heading into the series? Because it's a big ask, but the riding was really on the wall with her heat performance, that she was clearly racing very well.
Yes, yeah, he was a little bit concerned, you know, like, oh no, that was the other mare. No, he was really happy with her. I've got two of them going, so I get a bit wayward there. No, he was really happy with how she was coming in. And Mark Hewitt had always had a really high opinion of this mare. And then, you know, when Luke got going, and he has the other filly as well, and, you know, he said, oh, they're very much on a par, and he really, really likes the way that she races and her stamina. She's such a strong big girl.
Yeah, well, she's got a heap of size about her, and watching her as a young horse, you just always knew she was going to get better as she got older. So in terms of her, I guess, immediate future, I guess the Queen Elizabeth II Mile that I was just alluding to, it's going to be a great race this year, but that's only a month away. So is that the direction she's heading?
Yes, yeah, that will be, Brittany. I spoke with Luke, and he's always, you know, just had that in the back of his mind for her. So, yeah, that's where we're going to head for, and then we'll just see what happens after that. We've got to get into the race first, of course, but, yeah, that's our plan at this stage, and I'll just be guided by Luke, whatever he says to do after that.
And I Keep Smiling was excellent in second. She's a very different mare in that she's only 4. She's super lightly raced. She's only had the 12 starts, 9 wins. She's a Group 1 winner. And she was giving all indications that she was a very special talent, particularly last prep where she was able to win that Breeders' Challenge final. She's a sub-150 performer. So I'm sure that she didn't lose any of your admiration on Sunday. She had to do a fair bit of work, and she's just got it all ahead of her.
She does. She certainly does, Brittany. And she's actually 3 weeks behind in her fitness rating compared to the other mare. And yeah, we're super happy with her. And she's a different. She's a big mare too, but she's not quite as long as Not To Be Denied. And of course, that we bred her, so she you know, she does hold a very special place in my heart. That's for sure. And again, she was with Mark, and we just felt that she would benefit from the Water Walker and so on that Luke has at Cobbity Equine. So that was why she made the the transfer into Luke's stable as well.
Well, they're two very, very special mares, and it's, I'm sure, a real privilege to be able to race them both. You've had a lot of success yourself and your family in the sport of harness racing. Where does Sunday rank running a Quinella in such a, you know, it's only a new race on the calendar, but it's a high-quality race. So where does that sit for you?
Really, really up there, Brittany, and it, particularly, you know, with one that we actually bred and raced through, and she comes back from the beautiful mare Jasmerella, which has so much history with our family, and Grace Robinson. So, yeah, I think it's definitely up there, and just that whole Easter weekend, you know, we had the Bathurst Carnival, we had Libby Lou who ran second in the bracelet, and, you know, it was just an exciting time to be part of harness racing, and yeah, just so proud of them.
Yeah, well, you've got a pretty incredible race team at the moment. Those two mares, Libby Lou, you just mentioned, Kima is a two-year-old filly that I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about. So times are exciting, but when it comes to the stud business, there's never really a time to take a deep breath or a break. I would assume you're in the middle of weaning time or around about that time of the season.
Yeah, we are, Brittany. We've got 27 foals that we're just going through our foal handling at the moment, just educating those. And we'll start to wean probably the end of next week. We'll start to take the older ones off. So, yeah, but it's lovely to, you know, we had the yearling sale, and that's the end of one complete season. You know, you pack that away and then we start off again. But being in the stud business is so rewarding. You know, you see the foals, and we have such changes of seasons through the year. You know, we have stud season, yearling time, foal handling, weanling time. So it's we're lucky we get something different all the time around us. But you're right, there's never a dull moment. But maybe we just sneak to the races for a little bit of enjoyment.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that it was a very enjoyable weekend. So 27 weanlings. Where does that sort of stack in terms of numbers for Success Stud?
This will be a lighter year for us, and it's one that I'm reveling in as well. So it's nice, and, you know, we're not going to have the big numbers come through anymore. We're just, you know, quieting down a little bit and focusing more on the quality rather than the quantity for us. So, you know, and out of those 27, there's 12 of those are, you know, farm owned, and the rest are for clients. So half of those probably will go through to yearling sale, and the others are those that are just, you know, bred here for their owners to go off and race for them later on.
Well, speaking of the breeding season, before we know it, it'll be August and September, and it'll all be happening again. And off the back of that, I just wanted to pick your brains on, I guess, new stallions and what's sort of happening on the breeding front, because it's ever changing. And we've already heard from the Cobbett Equine team that they've got two new stallions this year in Cannibal and Confederate. I think Bulldog Hanover had his first year siring last,
yes,
breeding season. So what is I guess the scheme of things at the moment in terms of stallions? I think it seems that there's certainly more interest in our colonial stallions, and there seems to be a really good group of them at the moment. But what's your assessment of how things are trending?
It's you're definitely right there. Where our colonial stallions, they're having a major push and doing very, very well, you know, compared to the imports, shall we say. And those colonial stallions, with their race times and their money earned, you know, they are more than comparable with the imports, in my opinion. And it's, you know, it's lovely to see the support, you know, that we get from Harness Racing New South Wales, you know, particularly in New South Wales, with those incentives that are going, you know, breed New South Wales. And I think we are definitely on the right track. You know, you see the thoroughbred industry so invested in their, you know, in their own stallions, and I think that's the way we're headed at the moment. You know, you've got the likes of Ride High and Vincent, and, you know, those stallions that are leaving their mark. And Poster Boy, he had a lovely winner at Wagga on Tuesday with a 2-year-old as well.
Yeah, I'm hearing pretty good things about the poster boy. So that's exciting going forward. He's beautifully bred himself. Did you have any foals last year by new stallions? I'm hearing some pretty good things about King of Swing's progeny, that they're very, very good types. Did you have any of your own?
Yes, yeah, we sure do. We've got three King of Swing colts here on the farm at the moment, and they are outstanding types. Their temperament's very good too. They're you're just coming through the weanling process, but they've handled that very, very, very professionally. And you know, they're good in the legs. There's, you know, they're very straight in the legs, and they're nice movers. They're big, but they are proportionate. You know, like they're sort of big all over, but they at this stage there's no, you know, big gangly gappy knees or anything like that. So they're very exciting to see come through. And we had a couple of lather ups as well, you know, just going through the yearling sales. They were lovely, good sorts of horses. And the Captain Midnight, there's some foals that I'm impressed with as well.
Well, there were some nice yearlings go through this year by Captain Midnight as well, and they probably threw a little bit back to that Captain Treacherous style as well. And just on King of Swing, yeah, hearing some great things. But he was a big horse himself, wasn't he? And he was a two-year-old. He won a Group 1 as a two-year-old, so you would expect that his progeny will do much of the same. What's your strategy for the 2024 breeding season? Are you sticking with the tried and true? Are you dipping your toe in the water with a few new stallions, or is that still a decision-making process to come?
We have a loose plan, you know, going forward. We always like to support the new season stallions, you know, because they're new and exciting, and you know, you just don't know, you know, what you're going to get and if their credentials match up. From a commercial side, you know, we like the new stallion, and then, you know, your other proven horses, for us, you know, going to sell, you know, that, you know, if they look okay, that you're going to get some decent funds, you know, of those coming through the sales. It's really this is the time of year that, you know, you make a few decisions, and I have the wish list, you know, down in front of me, but of course not all the stallions have been announced yet that are coming. You know, I know there's been a few stud masters over in the States. Most of them are back now, and then they'll go back over again in June, and they'll just be tidying up a few contracts. And I have no doubt that there'll be some other fairly exciting names coming across, whether it be frozen or with the horses here physically.
Just before I let you go, Jackie, how important from your perspective, and you've had a lot of experience in this breeding game, is it to have these stallions continue to shuttle? Because the Cobbity team and Jamie Dernberger from Summit were so keen to get the likes of Confederate and Cannibal to come and stand physically in Australia. Does that have a bearing for you on which way you go?
Sometimes it does. Working with the frozen semen is a lot more technically involved, you know, as far as when you inseminate the horse. All of the stallions that are, you know, being frozen and coming out now, their fertility rates are spectacular, and they have to be, you know, because you only got dealing with a small dose of actual, you know, live sperm. And then, you know, with the other horses coming here and in the flesh, that gives people the chance to go and see the stallion themselves, and that, it, you know, has advantages as well. The transport semen and Cobbity, they do such a great job. You know, we have the semen back at the airport the day that it's collected, as we do from New Zealand and the Victorian studs as well. Really, I don't mind using the frozen or the transport. For me, it's the same. Like, we work really hard to get our fertility rates up there, and I really don't. Maybe, you know, your transport is a little bit easier, but for me, if it's the right stallion, you'll go whichever way you can to get into that bloodline that you're chasing.
Well, it's going to be so exciting to see those new stallions, their progeny this year, and then heading forward, maybe if there's a few more announcements to come, as well as some further options for breeders. But here's hoping that not only do the big studs like yourself have a really good season, but a few are just able to breed one or two themselves? Because for results like Sunday, I'm sure that that's really selling the dream. Jackie, congratulations. Really appreciate your time this morning. I've enjoyed chatting it. And good luck with it all going forward, particularly in the next few weeks and months with those two mares heading towards the big one at Menangle.
Thank you so much, Brittany. We look forward to seeing you in May.
That's going to be some night. May 4th at Tabcorp Park Menangle is ladies' night. And, of course, it's a different looking night. We've often had the Oaks and the Queen Elizabeth II Mile as part of night two of the Carnival of Miracles. But with a different looking carnival this year, the girls are getting their night in the spotlight there, all on their lonesome on May 4th. So that's going to be here before we know it. Really appreciate the time of Jackie Gibson this morning. She plays many roles, but the role of breeder and owner there on Sunday was to the fore at Wagga. I'll be back tomorrow morning from 10:30 again for more of On the Pace. Bathurst tonight, and then tomorrow we'll preview a nine racer from Penrith.